David, Donington Park is upon us, the start of the season. On paper, this is an old Brian Clough gag as well, on paper it looks like there should be a certain couple of drivers who might be in with a chance this year, but as Brian Clough said, we should have won on paper, but unfortunately the game isn't played on paper. It's not going to be cut and dried, is it?
No, it's going to be a great season. I know I always say that, but it is. I mean, let's get the first small elephant out of the room, shall we? Smaller grid. We've not lost any mega names, with the possible exception of Rory Butcher as a race winner, but you know, the others hadn't been that successful. It's not like you've lost a huge number off the front of the grid. You've still got previous champions and plenty of race winners up there. You know, you sit down and list the people that could win the championship or could win a race this weekend, and it's most of the entry, you know, bar three or four names. So let's dispel that myth that it's a weak entry in some respect, because it isn't. With that in mind, and the fact that there are so many potential race winners and therefore potential champions, can't wait. And I think when you throw in the changes to qualifying and the changes to tyres and the changes to hybrid, not all of which we'll see this weekend, admittedly, but you know, there are so many variables, it is very, very hard to call who's going to be champion and how, and whether that is by racking up a load of wins or banking points. You know, we could be in for another of those bizarre seasons like we had, was it 2016, 2017, 2018? 17 different winners in a season. It might not be that number, but you know where I'm heading with it. You know, it's going to be so many potential victors. And given the regulation changes, you know, we could be on for another of those really strange years.
Yeah, the testing's been a bit strange this year as well, hasn't it? Because there've been wet days,
well,
and, you know, and sometimes you get a sense in testing of where the top half of the grid's going to be. But I haven't really seen that so much this year.
No, and the problem with testing is that you don't really know what everybody is doing. You know, are you on a full tank of fuel? Are you on new tyres? Are you on a race run? Are you on a qualifying run? You know, we won't really know until we get to the end of probably FP2 on Saturday here at Donington. And there's a little bit more pressure in that because people want to try to make sure that they're quick because they need to carry that into qualifying. You can't be prattling about early on in qualifying because you've only got in that first segment now 10 minutes. You've got to do it, get it right in 10 minutes and then keep progressing. So we're going to learn a lot this weekend, and even then we're not going to learn the full story because qualifying will be everybody on full hybrid and race one full hybrid, which we won't have at any other point of the year.
Back at the media day, the talking points for the drivers were the effect of the hybrid, the enhanced hybrid. They're calling it DRS, push to pass, lots of different names for it, but it is going to make a significant difference this year. Maybe not so much this weekend, but as the season progresses.
Yeah, I think when you get to race two, for example, when it starts to have a bearing. Yeah, I mean, different descriptions have been offered, like it's having, when you don't have it, it's like somebody grabs hold of you and pulls you backwards, or if you've been on the motorway behind a lorry, sort of using that toe, and then you pull out and you lose that slipstream effect and suddenly you think, whoa. Or if you've got a car with a sport mode and a normal mode and you flick from one to the other, it's a noticeable sort of sag. So the drivers are assuring us all that it's going to have a real difference, and that will be good. You know, I think Toker have been fairly upfront about the fact that if things need tweaking, they'll tweak. Yeah. And they've tweaked, and this has been done with some science. You know, they've gone through any growing pains of hybrid and seen what it can and can't do, and have worked now to fine-tune it a bit further.
One of the drivers said to me it was they've now got the hybrid they thought they were promised originally, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad way of looking at it, and I think, you know, the drivers want that extra benefit of it, because I think in year one, didn't we have, was it Dan Kamish was saying at one race that, you know, that the hybrid didn't make as much of an impact as the ballast, whereas, you know, you always had that ballast, you always had that weight disadvantage, and now this again won't be a straight replica of that, but it will have more of an impact for sure. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how the drivers adapt to it and play with that, because those that have been in the championship since the start of hybrid have an idea perhaps in their mind of how to use it. Rob Huff comes in with only one event really of hybrid at Knockhill, where because of the nature of the circuit it's a law unto itself, and how he adapts to that and where he elects to use it and how will be really interesting, I think.
The drivers are also considering the new qualifying format, the tyre changes, where I think you need to use the hard tyre in the second race after you've done well. Or I'm not sure I fully understand all the rules yet. Explain it.
Where we're at an event, it's not relevant here, but when we get to it, I think there are seven events where we have a choice of tyres. Yes, yes. If you win race, sorry, if you are in the top 10 in race one, you must use the harder available tyre in race two.
I wasn't far off.
No,
I wasn't
exactly.
Far off.
No,
so that's going to throw a spanner in the works. The hybrid, the enhanced hybrid and the qualifier means that you're going to get some top drivers potentially near the back having to work their way through, which is great for the fans, but brings with it all sorts of challenges.
And it starts in FP2, because you've got to have a car by the end of FP2 that you can dial straight into qualifying. Like I say, you can't be wasting time in those 10 minutes setting it up. And you also, in those 10 minutes, particularly at a longish lap here or a long lap like the Grand Prix circuit here or Snetterton, get track limits right. Because if you think about a front-wheel drive team, in 10 minutes, they've got to go out, come back in and do a tyre cross. Now, they might work on a way of trying to avoid that time loss. Go back out, tyre up to temperature, do a lap, do a quicker lap. There's no margin for error. And that puts the teams have got to get the car right, but the driver has got to be absolutely spot on to make sure that he's not losing lap times for track limits. Because if you do, you haven't got any comeback. And equally, if you have a spin, you've wasted your session, you've wasted your 10 minutes. And although we're talking about a four-part qualifying with Q1 in two elements, you know, the pressure is on right from that first moment. And if you think about the fact that all the way through qualifying, we're not just talking about times now. We're trying to get into that final six. Well, even out of an entry of 20, 21 cars, getting into the top six is pressure. It's hard, especially in this company with so many good drivers. I'm looking forward to qualifying. I think it's going to be very, very interesting, and it's only going to take one tiny little error. You know, how many times did we talk last year of thousands of a second splitting people, or you know, 20 cars within a 9/10 or whatever? So pressure is on. Team to get the car right, driver to not cock it up.
Yeah. Brands Hatch is going to be interesting, isn't it? Because the enhanced hybrid could be worth anywhere between half a second, 6/10 of a second, which on a, when you consider that's what covers front to back of the grid at Brands Hatch on the Indy circuit, I mean, it's quite something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and Knockhill's the same. And all it's going to take to radically change a grid is one driver, you know, having a lock-up, going into a corner, or heaven forfend, you know, you get caught out by a car that you think is going left and you commit and he goes your way. Tiny, tiny margins separate the cars. Tiny, tiny errors will radically affect the grid.
If we just assume, as you've already alluded to, there could be many winners this season because of the changes. And we've seen it before, you know, a large number of winners. But this season it comes around again. Therefore, consistency, campaigning across the whole season is going to be really, really important. On that basis, have we got a handful of drivers that we think will be walking away with the championship?
You've got to come back to the usual suspects. And you would start that list with Ash Sutton, Colin Turkington, Tom Ingram, because they've won the championship before. Mm. Add to that list Jake Hill, Dan Kamish, because they've nearly won the championship before. Keep adding to that list the likes of a Dan Rowbottom or the likes of an Adam Morgan, who've won races. And they can win races again and therefore take points off people. The fascination for me is going to be Rob Huff. I'm really, really pleased that he's on the grid. I think it's going to be mega, frankly. You know, he's nothing to prove, in my eyes, because of what he's done internationally. And after, you know, 20 years of being away, there'll be a generation of British touring car fans that don't really know all about this Rob Huff bloke. But trust me, I mean, he's absolutely top dollar. So to have him in the championship is a real coup. Now, you talked about drivers to win the championship, and you're absolutely right, because we all focus on the drivers' championship, but it's not just the man behind the wheel, because a lot of the, increasingly you could argue now, you need not just a good team behind you, but a good engineer. Now, how many times have we talked about Tom Ingram and Spencer Aldridge, Ash Sutton and Tony Carosa? And so it's also getting that harmony between driver and engineer, where they're able to almost be mind readers and know what the engineer is doing and know what the driver wants out of a car. But then you've got to be in the right team as well. Yeah, you can be an absolutely dynamite driver, but if the team mucks up by, I don't know, putting the wrong tyre on or failing a ride height test, it's all out of your control. So the point I'm sort of rather laboriously getting to is that, yes, we've got some absolutely fantastic drivers on this grid, but everything needs to kind of align. You know, you've got to be in the right team in the right year as well, and the team has got to be on the top of its game with processes and making sure that there isn't a ride height failure, that the rear wing isn't slightly too high, or as we've seen in the past with people being excluded. So there is no margin for error, whether it's in the paddock or on the track.
just finally, I just think I felt a spot of rain on my head.
There. No. It doesn't rain in
weather,
the UK.
Weather yes. always seems to play a part in this time of the year. Here at Donington Park, the last two or three years, we've had anything from biblical amounts of rain to hell, haven't we? It's going to play its part again this weekend, I suspect.
You see, I am one of those people that likes wet races or mixed conditions races. I know the drivers don't, I know the teams don't, and I know people stood out in it don't. But what we had here last year with a deluge of rain before the race started and people trying to second guess tyres and when to pit, whether it was, you know, do we put wets on and go to the grid? Do we come in at the end of the green flag lap or do we risk it for a couple of laps? Seeing all that unfold, I really like. And watching a track change, you know, if it's wet and it dries, I think that's always fascinating. So mixed weather conditions this weekend, I would welcome. And I think it's another aspect that is outside of any team's control. And therefore, it makes for more unknowns in the result and would make for good racing. Donington National Circuit, which is the one we use to start the season, is normally one of the tracks that gives you good racing. It's got a nice flow to it and the chicane, good outbraking opportunity at the end of the lap. You know, for 100 years, it felt like I used to do a lot of weekends here as the circuit commentator. And a national circuit meeting was always much, much better than a Grand Prix circuit meeting, because the Grand Prix loop with the chicane, and it was a much tighter chicane then, and two hairpins used to break up the flow, whereas the national circuit, it's a more flowing lap, and the racing was always really good. You know, Redgate, good outbraking opportunity. Craner curves to the old hairpin, you can overtake. Chicane at the end of the lap, lots of places to do it. So we're going to get some good racing, whether it's wet or dry. But if we do have a... Well, somebody tells me it's going to be appalling on Sunday. Other people tell me it might rain a bit in the morning. Take your choice. But we won't be disappointed, come what may.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great season, and particularly for the fans as well. And, of course, seeing you back on ITV Sport.
Well, you can't have everything, can you? Yes. Now, ITV's commitment continues, which is fantastic. And this year, TikTok is going to take all the races live as well, which takes us to a new audience, not only, you could argue, demographically, but geographically as well. And I think people that are coming across the championship for the first time will be impressed, because they can recognise the cars, they can see plenty of action. What's not to love?
TikTok is known for little videos of people dancing, isn't it? Will we see Mr. Harvey shaking your booty in the commentary box?
I can let you into an exclusive here. Not on your life.
Good to see you, David.